Good morning. Thank you all for coming, especially in light that there's another honeybee talk right now concurrent on colony collapse disorder, one that I wish I were at right now, in fact. And it's clearly that if there isn't a variant of Murphy's Law about scientific meetings, that, you know, if there's one talk that you really want to make, it's at scheduled at a time that you can't make it. This is a perfect example of that. Nonetheless, I'm going to be talking about a new study that's been funded by many groups, but largely by the USDA, about the mating health or the reproductive quality of honeybee queens. And I just want to acknowledge my my co-authors here, Susan Farbach, collaborator at Wake Forest University, who is going to be presenting her data on the ovarial counts of the queens. Jennifer Keller is our apiculture technician and did all of the field work. Joel Karen is our genetics technician. He coordinated the genetic analyses. And Debbie Delaney is a postdoc in the lab who got us up and running on the sperm count analyses and optimized the microsatellite analyses that we did. So the honeybee colony can be viewed, at least like Richard Dawkins' terminology here, that it can be viewed as an extended phenotype of the queen. The queen, of course, is the sole reproductive female in the colony, and therefore all of her offspring daughters comprise that colony, and that is the level at which selection acts. And so understanding the queens then can help improve, or improving the reproductive quality of queens can help improve overall colony productivity and understanding colony fitness. Honeybee queens are also notoriously highly polyandrous, where they mate with an average of about 12 drones or so, but that can range quite dramatically from queen to queen. And so the extended phenotype of the queen is not, of course, just her, but genetically of her mates as well. There have been reports recently, however, especially among commercial queen producers and commercial beekeepers, that queen longevity has been declining. Typically, queens live 2 to 3 years, or at least historically. Lately, however, there seems to be a problem in queens that they're not living as long. They're being superseded or replaced more quickly, and they are they're just not living as long and being as productive. So there's some question then as to why this is occurring. And of course, because queens, when they mate with their multiple males, they store the sperm from their males and they fertilize the eggs over their egg-laying lifetime, it's very possible that this decline in longevity is associated with inadequate mating number by the queens. And so that's what we investigated here, is this reproductive quality and the mating health of the queens. And to do this, we simply went and ordered many queens from a dozen queen producers across the, these are commercial queen producers that sell them on the market. We had a member, former member of our lab group, Joe Flowers, go out and order these so that they weren't going to be shipped to NC State University so the producers couldn't cherry pick the good ones. So literally these were purchased by Joe the beekeeper in order to kind of remain anonymous here. We then measured them for everything that we could think of. We looked at their physical health, their insemination health, is a stored sperm number, and then finally the mating health, that is the number of drones that they mated with, and then compare these different measures to see how they intercorrelate. I should note that this approach of kind of assaying and investigating commercially produced queens is not a new approach by any means. There have been studies dating back to the 40s that have done the same thing, but for different measures. But overall, measures such as determining how well-developed their ovaries are, to parasites and the prevalence of these parasites that I'll get to in a moment, the sperm counts in this stored sperm counts by in the queen spermatheca, and then finally mating number has actually never been looked at in any of these previous studies. But I will refer to them, kind of these numbers historically, and see exactly what these commercial queens look like compared to those previous studies. So the physical quality, quite quickly measuring things like the weight, thorax, and head widths, the wing lengths, and from that the fluctual asymmetry of the queens. As you might imagine, all of these measures, except for fluctual asymmetry, are all highly intercorrelated, you know, because bigger queens are heavier and have wider thoraxes, and you know, so that that was clearly shown. However, we did see across these different producers, these are coded by letters to retain anonymity, we found significant differences within and among different sources of these queens, which is not really all that surprising, but the degree to which may be. And just to use an arbitrary number of 175 milligrams, about 21% of the queens that were purchased were weighed less than that. The average of the queens, these queens that were purchased, weighed about 194 milligrams, which is consistent with the literature. Of course, we dissected out the ovaries of the queens, both the left and right ovary, and this is where Susan Farbach comes into the picture here, where she embedded them in wax and using microscopy took cross sections of the ovaries, and in order to count the ovarial number of these ovaries. Ovarial numbers, of course, are those individual tubes within each ovary that are individual egg factories. So the higher the number of ovarials per ovary, the higher the fecundity of the queens. Here are some examples of ovaries that from a virgin queen, and they're not yet active and large, versus a laying queen where the ovaries are massive and pretty much take up the whole abdomen of the queen. These are on the same scale, the same size scale, so it gives you an idea of the variation there. But overall, high quality queens, or kind of maximum number of ovarials per ovary, is about 150 to 180. So, you know, well over 300 ovarials per queen. And while we're not done with collecting these data, the preliminary evidence suggests that a very large number of these queens have fewer than 125 ovarials, so they seem to not have as many as what we would expect. But again, that's very preliminary at this point. We also looked at the parasitism of the queens themselves, as well as the attendant workers that came along with them in the U.S. mail. For two parasites, the main parasites that have been linked with queen quality specifically, those being Nosema, a gut parasite, and tracheomites, which are these microscopic mites that live inside the breathing tubes of the queens. And unlike previous studies that have shown fairly high levels of both, we found no queens infected with Nosema. And we only found three out of the 140 or so queens that were tested that had tracheal mites, and all three of these queens were from the same producer. So very low incidence of these. We also ran a battery of real-time PCR reactions on the queens to look for their infestations of seven different viruses, and we found lots of virus all over the place, which is very consistent with other results, but there was no real clear, consistent pattern of a virus infection. Okay, we also looked at the sperm counts of the queens. So again, when queens mate with drones, they store a proportion of each male's sperm in the spermatheca. We dissect out that spermatheca, rupture it in solution. Queens that are inadequately mated or are virgins have clear spermatheci. Those that are fully inseminated have about 5 to 7 million sperm stored in the spermatheca. And what we've done then is be able to stain the sperm and be able to visualize it under a fluorescent microscope and be able to then assess the number of sperm within each queen's spermatheci. We found overall that on average queens had about 4 million sperm, stored sperm. Again, the expected full mating range is between 5 to 7 million sperm. arbitrary cutoff of 3 million sperm being considered poorly mated by others in the literature. About 16% of the queens were poorly mated. But I should note that a majority, supermajority of the queens were inadequately mated, that is, they had less than 5 million sperm. And we also found that sperm number increased with size, so larger queens tended to store more sperm. Finally, looking at mating frequency, we use microsatellite analyses to genotype worker offspring of the queens. Again, queens on average mate with 12 drones. We found that in this study population, we actually found that queens mated with an average of 12 drones, but accounting for variation in drone contribution, we found that queens really mated with about an average of 12 drones. So they were mating adequately. Also, the same thing here, increased size, increased mating number. So comparatively, and there's a lot of good and bad news compared to historical records of the reproductive health of queens, but overall, we're concluding that the decrease in longevity of queens is not a result of them being inadequately mated. I'd like to thank the members of the lab, Susan Farbach again, and funding sources. Thank you.